Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we're going to do something a little different this episode. We are going to take an interview from Big Sports Radio in its entirety, put it on here for fans who don't get an opportunity to listen to that show. What it is Tony Altimore is a gentleman who is an expert on the business side of running a university. So he looks at things not just from, well, how big is the TV contract? How much money is it worth? But also looks at the research funding that is coming into the university and the general overall decision-making process that a university president might have when they look at conference alignments. And he's going to talk a little bit about things that have nothing to do with football or basketball. We think this is kind of a neat view. We've had the benefit of talking to guests who have been helping us better understand expansion. But we haven't had anybody really look at it from this point of view. We've had network executives on. We've, of course, had media who cover the big conferences on. But we haven't had somebody more from the academic side to take a look at this. I think it's a pretty exciting interview. And there's a lot of things you may not have been exposed to. We learned a lot during it. And we really appreciate Tony coming on the show. We think you'll enjoy this. So sit down. It's not a very long episode. And we can touch base on the other side of the interview. Thanks.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
Big Sports Radio is back here. Larry, Mike, and Brad. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that we're always talking, you know, realignment, NIL, and college expansion. And folks, it's not done. It's still going to happen. I mean, not right now, but it's coming. Just trust us on this. We've got a guest in right now, Tony Altimore. We began following on Twitter and just really enjoyed kind of some of the stuff that he does. He's a strategy consultant. He's got some ties to USC. So first off, we say welcome to the Big Ten.
Thank you. My dad played for Duffy, so we come from a Big Ten family.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. First, give us a quick overview. Kind of how did you get started in kind of crunching these numbers and things with realignment talk really taking a front seat in the sports world?
Well, one of the things that really, when I was at USC, I worked in the athletic department for 4 years and I studied under the president of USC in the program that he had and stuff like that. So when the Texas and Oklahoma stuff broke, I was listening to sports writers and I just couldn't get over. I realized they didn't understand the business of higher education. Like they didn't understand the way universities think. They didn't understand what made sense to universities, what they want, what matters to them. They didn't know what AAU meant, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And so I actually started trying to reach out to some friends of mine that were in the sports media world and some folks that I thought had really good content, but just were sort of missing that piece to say, hey, you know, here's some data, here's some charts, you know, see if you can use this. And from there, folks said, well, will you publish this? Will you put this out there? And so I said, okay. And the funny thing is most of the work that I do, funny enough, is very, very confidential. It's for corporate clients. So, people always say when I do regular work, like, oh, can we see some stuff you've done before? Well, no, you absolutely can't because it's confidential. So some of this stuff actually is great because it's completely unclassified. I can give it to people.
You've kind of been following obviously this expansion and these changes and different things. What are kind of your thoughts on this, where it's headed? Where are we headed in the future here with this expansion?
Well, so the first thing I think is where we're headed is some of the data that I've looked at right now. If you look at financially, if you look at academically, if you look at athletically, and those are like the three big categories that are everything. And really, I would say academics first, finances second, athletics third. The Power Five conferences, and it's technically A5, which means autonomy. It means that they have special powers by the NCAA. It's not this like, it's actually a real thing. The schools in those five conferences are just in a different world academically, financially, and athletically from the rest of the sport. So the first thing that I think we're going to see more and more of is separation between the G5 and the Power 5. We already have, if you look at, and I have some data charts on this, we already have near complete separation financially and athletically and really academically with a few exceptions. So in that regard, we're really looking at this separation. And because of that separation, I think that's why you're seeing there are going to be a very, very, very few spots left for somebody to, you know, sort of quote upgrade. You know, we think the Pac-12 is going to take two more. We don't know if the Big 12 is going to maybe take some more. People think maybe the ACC, you know, UConn, whatever you hear some talks about. But it is going to be very, very important going forward to have a seat at one of those tables, or you're going to be in big, big trouble. Now, the other big debate is the separation, and it's financially, it's a big thing right now between the sort of the big two, the SEC and the Big Ten, and everybody else. So, and there's a lot of debate on that, right? Because I think you're seeing more separation in football and less in other sports. Across other sports right now, there's still, they haven't pulled away. But what's interesting is if you look at the athletic performance, the, you know, total sports points from the Director's Cup, you see the top tier is all the very, you know, sort of like the floating to the top, the cream flows to the top, whatever, is all Big Ten and SEC and Stanford. And then at the bottom is not Big Ten and SEC. It's, you know, Cincinnati and West Virginia and Oregon State or Washington State and, you know, some of those others. So you are already seeing a little bit of that misalignment, and that's probably going to get worse because the new media deals for the Big Ten and the SEC are so big that they're going to put enough money into those programs that if you're swimming or baseball or whatever and you're not in one of those leagues, you're going to have trouble getting the funds.
So the interesting thing, and I'd love to pick your brain, is how did the Pac-12 get themselves into this situation where they kind of missed the boat on getting, you know, a linear TV deal that they wanted? And then the second question, because you're out there and you understand kind of that type of background of schools, but what do Washington and Oregon, what are their options if they say we have to break free and get to the big money?
Well, so first of all, I don't know that the Pac-12 has actually missed the boat. When we talk to people within the actual schools, they seem to think that they are. I mean, they're going there back and forth. They don't seem to think that they have a problem. The Big 12 people, and it sounds ridiculous to say this, right? Because the Big 12 paid people to lie to their fans. They paid PR people to lie to their fans, which is unbelievable to me as someone who has spent time with higher education. So we don't really know what to believe or what not to believe.
How so? Let me cut you. How do they lie to their fans? What do they say that was
they've had PR people that have actually put out false rumors. They've had people like, they actually came to me, funny enough, and I had to take it to four universities where four university presidents went on the record and said that is false. Where they had people like a lot of these, like you hear people talk about sources and insiders and all that. And a lot of it has actually been planted. It's like dirty politics. And it's really, really weird because you've never seen this in college sports before to this degree. So it's why a lot of times, you know, you hear people say things like, oh, it's Ion TV. And then you hear somebody be like, no, Ion TV has nothing to do with this. Because it literally was false information played straight out of politics. It's straight out of Washington. And I personally think it has no place in higher education. I think it has no place in college sports, but it's there now. So we're going to sort of have to deal with this.
Well, if I can follow up on Mike's question, I think the reality is that with the mega money, I mean, everything you're saying is correct, but with the mega money, that's, we can agree it's football driven.
Yeah.
When you've got Big Ten teams and SEC teams pulling in 80 to 90 million a year, those schools compared to the Pac-12 discussing possibly a deal that's not even half linear, that may be more than half streaming, right? And a deal that may net those teams maybe 30 to 35 million.
That's why USC and UCLA took off.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is, they're already gone. So that money was fine 10 years ago, 8 years ago. But moving forward, 26, 27, 2029, 2030. When you get into this now, if you've got these schools making double, if not triple, exactly, it's going to expand that. And I guess that's the question where it feels like expansion. You're going to have Pac-12 schools or as ACC schools when they get out of the deal. And, you know, look, it's not going to be till 2036, but they're locked in for the moment. They're going to jump to try to get to one of those Big Ten.
But here's the thing.
That's what you, yeah,
does Illinois want to take less?
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to. And that's kind of right now what's held up is that
yes,
Big Ten schools are not going to take less. But you can see where, hypothetically, if it's an Oregon that comes in and says, well, I could take $30 million here, or if there's some kind of deal they can work and I take 30, even though they're getting 90, if I get 30 now, at least I've got a seat at the table. So like what
Maryland, and that's the question is that there?
That's the
and point. I don't know that it is, because there's a couple things going on here. First of all, because we're talking about higher ed world and not corporate business world, there is an element you normally of being in the club. You're in the club or you're not. And so there's something to be said for, you know, like when Rutgers came in and they had like a ramp up of their money, when Utah came in, they had a ramp up. But the idea is like you ramp up and you get there eventually. But and everyone else has added value. You know, USC and UCLA added so much value. They're coming in 100% at moment one. But typically, the feeling among university presidents has always been, we're not going to try to create a JV league. You know, you're not going to be a sub-second-tier citizen permanently. So is Illinois going to take less money to have Oregon? And here's another thing, to be quite honest. USC and UCLA just left Oregon. And I can tell you as a USC alum, if they wanted to bring along Oregon, they would have brought along Oregon. And they did not. There's a lot of question. I'm really surprised that the Big Ten didn't take the four schools. They didn't take USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal. Oregon does not fit the Big Ten's profile. They do not fit the Big Ten's academic standards. So the Big Ten, for example, the lowest academic school in the Big Ten is Nebraska. And they do something like $350 million a year in research. Oregon does like 120. Oregon is one of the few schools in the power conferences who spends more on sports than research. And that's just not a Big Ten type of thing. Now, Washington, on the other hand, does just as much research as the University of Michigan. You know, Washington is a massive academic powerhouse. So, you know, or Oregon is an AAU member. They don't have a med school, so they get a little asterisk. But just in general, when you look at Oregon, people talk about Oregon and Washington. If I was the Big Ten, I'd be talking about like Stanford, Cal, and Washington, and Utah before I was talking about Oregon. And so there's some really, really interesting questions there about whether or not, I mean, Oregon has the brand and they got the swoosh and all that. But is Oregon really a Big Ten team? Now, there are other reasons for the Big Ten, too. That are you guys familiar with the BTAA? Do you know what that is?
No.
So the Big Ten Academic Alliance is something that when the University of Chicago quit sports in the 1940s, they didn't leave the BTAA. They're still in there. If you look at, like, apply to the Big Ten, C is for Chicago. And part of that is what the Big Ten does, for example, is you guys know, like, the benefits of like huge purchasing. The Big Ten consolidates its purchasing departments together. The Big Ten consolidates its like IT development and cybersecurity and fiber optic networks. The Big Ten merges its libraries together. They do their like staff leadership training. They hire each other's PhDs, mentor each other's doctoral candidates. Like all of this stuff that like actually when you think about the universities is way more important than sports, as silly as that sounds. So, like, if you join the Big Ten, it's not just, this is the crazy thing about joining the Big Ten, unlike anybody else, is it's not just that you're going to get double the money from sports. You're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars of benefits from your libraries and your research and your purchasing, like your shared purchasing. The Big Ten just a couple of years ago renegotiated their joint car rental contracts. And they're each going to save like another $1 million or something stupid like that, just off their shared car rental discounts. So like things like that in the Big Ten are just, and other conferences don't, the PAC does this for research. with the PAC ALC is what it's called, which is why, you know, people talk about, I don't know, and I could be wrong, but like, I don't think Colorado is going to forego probably $50 million of research benefits that they get from being in the PAC, that they're sort of mooching off Cal and Washington, so that they can go play like Iowa State on ESPN Plus for like $3 more. So, you know, those types of things, when you think about the university as a whole, like that's part of why like the Big Ten is just such a claw for everyone to want to get in, is because the Big Ten, we joke, the B in Big Ten stands for billions. And we joke with the Big 12, we're like, that doesn't stand for a thousand.
It's interesting. So we, I guess we're on the wrong thing. We need to be talking about Big Ten academics on this radio show.
It's, and no, it's the real money. It's just the big, to get to the Big Ten money. Has always done it right.
Yeah, that's, it's interesting. So what you're saying is there a team though that fits? I can think of one team in the Midwest that really fits the Big Ten from that standpoint, and from, and that would be
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. So what's that look like?
So Notre Dame actually, so and I, now I haven't seen the contracts, right? So I'm spit when I say this is in the contract, it's what I'm told is in the contract. I haven't reviewed their contracts. Supposedly the Big Ten has a carve out that the day Notre Dame is ready to join the conference, the media package is already set for Notre Dame, and it's something wild. It's like $200 million extra or something to that effect. Like it pays for Notre Dame, and then it would pay for somebody else if they even want it, and has still everybody makes a fortune. So Notre Dame absolutely clears the Big Ten in every sense. Their research isn't as strong. It's less than Nebraska. It's still two or three times what Oregon's is. It's less than Nebraska, but Notre Dame is not a giant graduate research school. Notre Dame is the number 18th ranked school in U.S. News and World Report. Like their academics, yeah, they're not AAU, but they're fine. They're probably the only not AAU that's fine. Then you take a look and you say, okay, who would be close? Like who would be close to not diluting? Because if you think about diluting, you know, who's going to make everybody else's numbers go down, or at least not make everybody else's numbers go down as much? They say Florida State, maybe. Some people think Miami. You know, you hear people say maybe Washington. But still, Washington, when they did the valuation, I was told is about like half the value of a Big Ten school. Now, the truth is, which we all know, let's be honest here, Ohio State is worth a gajillion, mm-hmm. and Northwestern, not so much. And we love Northwestern. So we're not picking on Northwestern. But the truth is that once you're in the club and you're sort of at that level, do you want to give up some of that money to bring somebody else in? And what are they going to add to you? And not only that, but with the Big Ten, you have limited spots. Like Purdue wants to play on those big channels sometimes. Well, you bring in, you have the, you know, every day the Big Ten is going to have three premier spots a week. And do you want to bring somebody else in so you're not in one of those? Do you want to bring somebody else in so you never get to go to the Citrus Bowl? You know, so if you're one of the, particularly if you're not Ohio State or Michigan or USC, why do you want Florida State in there? If they're going to cost you money, they're going to cost you visibility, they're going to cost you bowl spots, they're going to beat you probably. And by the way, they're not as good at schools as you. So what do they add? Now, you take a look at maybe Stanford, and we talked about the advantages of the BTAA. Now, if I can get Stanford to hire my PhD graduates and train my doctoral students, and I can merge and share my research with Stanford and partner with their med school, then maybe I'd take less money for that. In fact, I think if I joked with somebody, I said, before this whole realignment mess, if you said to somebody, to the Big Ten presidents, would you write a $2 million a year check to merge into Stanford? Most of them would have been like, double it, yes. And so right now we're sort of in a bit of a chaotic time, and we just use sort of Stanford as an example, but, you know, when you think about those intangibles, the thing is you got to have the right academic fit and the right athletic fit and the right market fit. And there's just not a lot of those schools around right now, assuming, of course, you're not going to get anybody from the SEC.
Yeah, that was the assumption I've always made, was that if they really had their pick, it would be Stanford, Texas, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Virginia. And those would be the schools that would be the perfect fit for the Big Ten.
But now we have the timing of contracts to kind of go after them.
100%. I think, Mike, I think you are absolutely right on that. Like, that's the perfect list. And if you think about it, some of those things, like if you can get the money up to be good enough, right? The value of those programs, like the value of their sort of TV stuff to be good enough, then maybe you take the hit because maybe the money is better on the research side. You know, not that the Big Ten's lacking research. The Big Ten does something like the full Big Ten does $17 billion a year in research. The complete Big 12 added together does two.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just our 2.3, 2.4. I forget the exact number, something like that.
That's shocking. But more shocking, you said Mike was right. And that was the most shocking thing I heard in that whole.
No, he's got it. Like if I was the Big Ten, I put my Big Ten hat on. That's my list. The other one that I would add if I was the Big Ten is I would really want Georgia Tech to get back to its 90s form.
Yeah.
Like 90s Georgia Tech is perfect. Nowadays, Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
By the way, Brad, Tony has a chart of that, and it's basically one little dot on a on a slide. That was my right.
Exactly. Hey, Tony, we've got about 30 seconds here. Give us your best guess. Next expansion, who goes where and when?
San Diego State and SMU to the Pac.
They will. Where I began joking, that's what ends up next.
That's what I think. I mean, who knows? We could. I mean, like I said, we could see something wild. I don't think we're going to. Because remember, this is higher education. They do not like to do wild things.
Right.
Now, USC and UCLA, and real quick, I don't know if you guys know this, USC and UCLA, not the first time they've quit the conference. They did exactly the same thing in 1957, and they created the Pac out of it. They quit the Pacific Coast Conference in a huff, just like they did this year.
Interesting. Okay, really
history quick. Repeats itself.
Right. Why SMU to the Pac?
Not a lot of other choices. You've got one of the few G5 programs that I think is really ready to make that leap. Mm-hmm. Also very committed to football. They're willing to do what they want. They're in a big market and just they're in the West. Like the thing is if you look at the West side of the country, and I have some maps I can show you guys on this some other time, there's just not a lot of schools.
Right.
So you start to think about like, okay, UNLV. No. Also, by the way, SMU academically, if you use the US News Report, they would be ranked fourth in the pack behind Stanford, Cal and Washington.
Okay, that's
good. So, I mean, it's a great school, great alumni,
no, devout, it's a great school. You
know, everything like that.
Yeah.
But not a lot of research, but a great school.
Laughing at myself that I sort of joked about what you think could happen next. So it tells you how much I know. Hey, Tony, we got to run. On Twitter, you are TJ Altimore, Tony Altimore Strategy Consultant. And man, you really bring the perspective. We appreciate your time. And hopefully we can get together and talk some more. Because
anytime.
We talk about this stuff all the time. So we'd love to have you back on again.
I'd love to join you anytime.
Awesome. Hey, appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks.
Take care, guys.
All right. Tony Altimore joining us here on Big Sports Radio. We'll take a quick time out and pay some bills, and we'll do more sports talk after this.
At Busey Bank, we understand you have a vision for your future, and we're committed to helping you achieve your dreams. Since 1868, we've invested in recruiting and retaining the best and brightest associates. Busey's unique culture is one that values and supports you, provides opportunities for growth, and it's much more than a job. It's a career. Build relationships, build community, and build your career at Busey Bank. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. If you're interested in Big Sports Radio, you can go to bigsportsradio.com. There you can see the stations that have the show. You can also see where we can download any of the podcast suppliers that you might use. And please feel free to go ahead and subscribe to Big Sports Radio. We'd love to have you listening to that as well as our normal Eye on the Illini, Sturdy for 30, and Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. So please do that. And with that, I will tell you, of course, you can get a subscription to IlliniGuys.com. Just go to IlliniGuys.com and you can make the choice to join us, $99 a year. You're in the middle of transfer portal time and AAU tournament is tipping off as the EYBL is, you know, just starting to go here in the next week or two. So there's a lot of news that's going to be going on, whether you want to follow transfers or follow high school recruiting. With that, I am going to thank you one last time, and go Illini.